We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Amy Westrup. Amy has over 20 years of marketing and public relations experience in the professional services industry. She has concentrated her career on advising the legal industry, closely held businesses, individuals, organizations, and foundations on focused and strategic marketing, public relations, and business development. Ms. Westrup currently serves as the executive director of the Association of Corporate Counsel Wisconsin. More fun, though, Amy has been a professional player with Comedy Sports Milwaukee for 3 years. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori.
I am very excited for this. Yeah. When I woke up this morning, I was thinking about how we know each other. And because obviously the show's on networking.
Yeah.
And I think you are one of those unique individuals that live in multiple silos of like people and organizations that I'm connected
professional
with.
Professional and social and sports and comedy and kids and everything.
I don't have kids, but
you can have mine. Do you want two teenagers?
So we met in the hockey space.
Years ago. I think I was checking you into the boards.
It's probably me checking you, I think.
Probably, yeah. Okay. It was me falling and you laughing. It's probably more like it.
And then we connected there and realized we have this thing called business that we are compatible in. Mm-hmm. So we connected professionally with the startup space a little bit.
Yeah, because I think we were both involved in a startup at the time.
Yep. And I'm still around. And
yeah, mine is not, but that's adventures. Okay. But it was great. It was great. I mean, as you can attest, startups are great. I mean, I've got
so many
MBA.
Learning opportunities, totally.
Yeah.
And most recently, that comedy sports gig.
Yeah. I know. You went through the workshops.
Which is super fun.
Yeah, two of the workshops.
Two of the workshops. That's wonderful. Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
It's a ton of fun, and it can be life-changing, honestly.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it.
So I went into comedy sports for professional development, which is kind of funny because I remember the first class that I was in. I went in with like this professional development mindset, like I'm learning something and I have to be serious and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was really stiff. And then the second class I went and I laughed literally the entire 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Because I realized like you can learn and have fun at the same time.
That's funny because I went in, I had done stand up like in college and on and off throughout my grown up years or growing up years to huge success, obviously, since I have my own sitcom and everything. So I went into it because I had never done improv.
Okay.
And people had said, oh, you should go do the workshops at Comedy Sports. And I'm like, what on earth is that? And this is odd, but this has to do with networking. Mm-hmm. The reason I did it was because on a social media platform, I saw a person, this is going to sound horrible, that I didn't particularly care for and I really didn't think was funny at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they had done it. And I thought, well, that's it. I have to do it because the world can't stand for that, which is terrible. But my point being, like, that's what made me do it. Like, there was kind of a challenge. So I went in there with I've done stand-up, this will be easy kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And within the first 10 minutes, I went, this isn't at all what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I think the first 7 minutes was just an eye contact exercise that made me so uncomfortable.
Totally.
That I was like, I was teamed up with a really young guy and I was the oldest person in the group. And it was weird because our group was made up of a really nice cross section of people. And that's the beauty of taking any type of workshop, but particularly at Comedy Sports, I think.
Yep.
And it was made up of this beautiful cross-section of people, but I happened to be the oldest one. And I just sat there going, I'm the oldest person here. And this kid across from me is like, oh, look at all of her wrinkles. I mean, oh, she has a mustache. I mean, just things that, like, anything that made you feel uncomfortable, I thought, that's all these people are noticing, which is so funny because that was the furthest thing from this person's mind.
Totally.
But, you know, it does, it can make you feel a little bit uncomfortable at the beginning. But I drove home from that, and you said you were really stiff. I was like crying because I thought, oh, I said, that's not at all what I thought it was going to be. And they laid out the different rules of improv. And by the time I got home, I understood it. And it was like a 15-minute drive. And by the time I pulled in my driveway, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I totally love that. And all of those improv rules that we just briefly covered are completely applicable to everything I do in life, everything I have done, and everything I want to do. So when I got back to the second class, I'm like, man, I am all in.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. And I had a great workshop class as well. And to your point, many people were there for a variety of different reasons.
Which I found fascinating.
Yeah.
I was a little intimidated when everyone does the introductions and they're saying, oh, I've been in comedy for this many years. I've been in acting. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm the most timid person on this planet. I just want to improve my public speaking skills.
Right. Everybody, a lot of people in my group were like that. But then I had somebody who just was trying to improve their stutter. Mm. I had somebody that just said, I have to, this is a requirement for my job. Like, we have to do some professional development.
Yeah.
So this seemed like a fun idea. And that was, you know, and I went through all of the workshops. And so each workshop had a different dynamic to it.
Yep.
But one thing that was consistent was that it was never about being funny.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that that's what it's about. And it really isn't.
There's a lot of life skills that come out of that class. But I want you to talk about the application of improv in the corporate setting.
Well, I would be happy to do so because in the last year and a half, we've really, really focused on that. I've done a ton of corporate training, networking, communication between men and women, just active listening, different types of sessions just throughout my career. And when I started taking, you know, formal improv and then became a professional player at Comedy Sports, they had already had some corporate training in place, and they've been doing it for 35 years, but there wasn't like a formal name to it. And so they have some amazing trainers there. Dave Nelson really championed this whole program called Applied Improv and just formalized it. And so I worked with him very closely to do that. And here's the thing. I think the number one thing that people are surprised to learn is that improv isn't about just saying something like right on the spot and hoping that it gets a laugh. It's much like a business environment. It's very fast-paced, but it requires listening and accepting what the offer you're being given. And then supporting your team, taking risks, and learning from those mistakes, but also knowing that, like, those mistakes are okay and they're naturally going to happen. And what I always draw on and what I tend to use every day, because as you can tell, I am a talker, is the act of listening skills that improv just makes you just dial into.
Yeah.
And eye contact.
Yes, eye contact. Listening is scary, though, but it forces you. I would say it's scary because at the same time, you have to process what's being said and come back with something. And it doesn't have to be funny and witty, but something that kind of fits the storyline to some degree.
Well, so I think that eye contact is scarier than listening.
Oh, that's interesting. But you've been doing this longer.
No, but I still, because it can make you feel uncomfortable. And people are looking at, you know, your flaws or my extreme beauty and how do they compete with that? No, but that is what makes me uncomfortable. Through the listening, if you're actively listening, like through listening comes opportunity.
Yes.
And then, of course, the major component of improv is yes and.
Yes.
So you listen, you accept it, yes, and then you move it forward.
Yep.
Now, I will say, I work in the legal field. I have worked in the legal field for over 20 years. I work with all lawyers all the time. I'm married to a lawyer, so I write lawyer jokes. I mean, I am just surrounded. And I use yes and almost on an hourly basis. Sometimes.
Is that a billable hour?
Yeah. Sadly, no. Okay. What I use it for very often is to actually diffuse a situation. Mm. Because as you can imagine, in a lot of corporate settings, you have big egos and you've got, and you know, very complicated issues and people that are bringing their A game to the table and you're negotiating and there could be some yelling, there could be some screaming, or in a sticky situation where, you know, perhaps, you know, there's a problem, but it's been created by two parties. I've been in calls where if you just yes and it, it diffuses the negativity and it just brings it back to like, hey, what's the end goal? What are we trying to achieve?
Yep.
Because very often, particularly like if somebody has made a mistake, they come in and they're very defensive. And I always say they're loaded for bear. Like they've got like the most gunpowder behind yep. what they're trying to do, right? They're going to take you down. And I've been in meetings where it's like, you know what? You did X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yes, I did. And you did. L-M-N-O-P.
Yep.
So, you know, this is what happened. I'm accepting that. And this is how we're going to move it forward. And it's really interesting because if you go into that with this positive kind of yes and attitude, it completely takes away all the gunpowder and like all of the flash that they were bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and moving forward, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know. I've seen it. I've used it. I use it daily. It works. It's best to use on, I found with teenagers, because if they come at you with like, I want this, then it's like, yeah, how are we going to pay for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's going to take like 14 hours of babysitting to pay that off. Or yeah, that'd be great. And let's go do that. And it's like, well, wait, I was expecting a fight. It's like, no fight here. Because that conflict, everyone thinks like there's a lot of humor in conflict. Like if you're doing an improv scene,
uh-huh.
like, wouldn't it be funny if like we were roommates and our scene was just, we instantly started fighting about how you didn't, or how you used my toothbrush, or how you didn't pay the rent. And it's like, well, yeah, sometimes that's funny,
mm-hmm.
but it's usually more funny to just kind of develop the relationship and talk about that. And it just is going to naturally come out and be funny.
Yeah.
It's the nature of being human. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And.
Yes. And.
On to some more questions.
Sure.
And I like how you kind of circled in the networking a little bit already, but obviously yeah. that's the purpose of the show today. So.
Sure.
Why don't you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you have?
Wow. I have a lot of them. I think one of my favorite ones actually kind of has to do with my journey doing improv. When I started the workshops at Comedy Sports, I had mentioned it to a friend of mine who is actually the dean at a school here in town. And she just kind of, through social networking and stuff, had followed the trajectory of what I was trying to achieve. And I kind of kept it under my hat. I wasn't shouting it from the rooftops, like, uh-huh. I want to get on the wall and be a professional player at CSE. I'm like, I'm just going through the workshops, something I've always wanted to do. And so she watched it, and then I got hired to be a professional player. And she called me because like I made that announcement, like, hey, I'm doing my first yep. professional show. You're like, yeah, I saw the post, Amy. But,
all 50 I haven't seen of the posts.
No, yeah. but she called me and she said, hey, I would like you to come and do a speech at our school for all of our teachers.
Awesome.
And I'm like, about what? I was like, what about legal marketing? Like, mm-hmm. ooh, that sounds terrible. She said, no, we're doing it in service, like right before school starts. And I want you to come and talk about your journey through improv and how it's affected your life. And I'm like, why on earth would anyone want to hear about that? And she said, because I don't think you realize the effect it's had on you. I've been watching from like this aerial view and you're quite changed. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize that. So then I kind of paused and thought about it. And she was absolutely right, because everything I had learned through those workshops and through doing improv and connecting with people on a different level helped me, because as I was doing those workshops, I was also looking for a job. I have always been a independent contractor, and you know, like I had my own little shop, which was great, but that is really tough. And, you know, pounding the pavement and chasing after bills, as you know, nothing easy about it, but you can really get burnt out. And so I was looking for something else. And through improv, it just gave me the confidence to go and do that and explore some avenues I hadn't explored really. Mm-hmm. So back to the speech, she asked me to write this speech and deliver it at her school for like, I don't know, 60 teachers and professors. I'm like, this is the, and she said, and afterwards, we're actually going to have Comedy Sports come and do a show. And I'm like, oh, how neat, like a two-person like show.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, that's neat. And so I let Comedy Sports know that they're doing this. And Bob Orvis, who is one of the founders, sat down with me. He's like, this is a really neat opportunity. Do you want to play in the show after you give your speech? And I had never played in one. And I was like, yeah, that would be really, really cool. Like tearing up even telling you guys, because it was really neat. I got to play with Bob Orvis, who's one of the founders and one of my coaches at the time, Mike Kauth, and he's an extraordinary coach and improviser. Pardon me. And so it was just like the level of support was really cool. So I ended up writing this speech called A Funny Thing, Life, because I had never thought that all of these different aspects of my life could be connected, and that one, anyone would care or even notice, and that she noticed was really, really cool. So then that just gave me this confidence to be like, oh, I can do anything. And so I was at a party, just like a kid's like eighth grade graduation party. And one of the gentlemen that was there was on the board of the Association of Corporate Counsel. And we were just talking about, I don't even know what. And he said, oh, wait, what's your background? And because of improv, like I was able to just like be clear and concise, exactly what my background was. And he said, I'm like, oh, I'm a legal marketing professional. I've been in legal marketing for 20 years. I've been in the, you know, private firm space as well as the association space, blah, 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 blah. And he said, oh, well, I'm on the board of this association and we're looking for a new executive director. You should apply. And so I did. And I literally in the interview said, look, we can go through all of this, but there's nobody here that's going to have the background or experience that I do. And you should just hire me. It's basically it.
Like, that's awesome.
Like I've got, not like I've got someplace to be, but let me just tell
you.
Let's
get right to the point.
Yeah. And they were like, yes, we agree. I was like, yes, Ed, okay, let's do this. So I know that's a very long-winded answer to your question, but it just, it took somebody like kind of watching this journey that was really totally unrelated to it to be like, do you have any idea what this is doing to your self-esteem? And I was always pretty confident, but not across the board. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I'm far more confident than
I think
been.
This is a great story. Thank you so much for sharing it. I think
I think we're going to edit a lot of it, but yeah.
No, I like the journey that you mapped out. I thought that was really insightful, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate it as well. There's a couple of things I just wanted to point out. One, I'm going to just speak to social media because obviously this is the space that we're in.
Of course.
But you never know who's listening and watching you.
Yeah.
So it's very important to, it's good to tell your story, but you don't know the perspective that someone else, like how they're viewing it.
Oh, so you without have question. To be,
you have to be careful about what you post, but it's good to still post that information. But this opportunity would not have come up to you if you did not share that.
No, but you do have to be very mindful of how you post, what platform you're posting, and how you design that post for the platform. I always, you know, LinkedIn, I post very different. It's the same information.
It's a different tone.
It's a different tone. It's wearing a different outfit. Mm-hmm. Facebook is a little more laid back, a little more jocular. However, I will say that I have a lot of crossover in my networks on both.
You and I, for
both.
Example.
Yes, absolutely. and then Twitter, you know, I used to use Twitter a lot. I don't use it as much anymore. But I do use it, you know, periodically.
Sure.
I check in on
it. I like to
it.
Say it's a combination of Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah. Although my kids tell me that Facebook is now should be changed to Facelift because it's just a bunch of old ladies. And
I have
That's
not
what
heard
I've
that.
Told. Yeah.
Wow.
I was
okay.
like, we should change it to Facebook. She's like, yeah, Mom, it's just a bunch of old ladies talking about playing bunco and okay. drinking wine. So I don't find that to be the case at all because, it, you know, I love social media and I use it quite a bit. I'm on it quite a bit. But I will say that it depends what my end game is, like mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do.
Totally.
If it's, you know, strictly legal related, I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, you know, for the association and then for, you know, some personal things. But then in the comedy area, it's interesting. So much of that, there are so many different groups, and that's primarily how we promote a lot of shows and on Instagram as
yeah.
well.
Yep.
But there is some crossover because like one of my troupes is Goodlanders, and it's a improv troupe that does long form. And we always attach our shows with like a fundraising component.
Oh, cool.
So we're all women, an all female troupe, which it just kind of naturally happened that way. But all of our shows benefit a nonprofit in town. And we usually try to find one that's maybe a little more obscure. That
I have
isn't
one
as well
for
known.
You.
Well, great. Please connect me with it because, you know, we like to like put the good in Goodlanders.
Yes.
And
cool.
we always
I
connect
that
way. And so I get to connect with a lot of corporate people on that level as well, saying, mm-hmm. hey, this is something good that you could get involved in. I also, and this kind of goes to just kind of creative networking, I like to combine the two. And very often, like I will ask, there's a gentleman here in town, Greg Bach, that puts on amazing comedy shows. He's a wonderful comedian, but he's also very active in the corporate and political world. And he puts on a show called The Badger Times. And it's kind of like a daily show type thing, but
okay.
it's Wisconsin specific. And
sure.
they did, they had a kind of an employment law theme,
mm-hmm.
you know, in on the back in the Me Too movement and just mm-hmm. talking about a variety of different issues, but they really wanted a legal component. And so he reached out to me and said, hey, do you know anyone that would like to do this? And through a list of, you know, contacts I have through the ACC and some of our sponsors, have reached out to attorneys I know in town at very specific firms that specialize in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to connect one of their attorneys to be on in this show.
Oh, cool.
Which is not anything she would normally do. And it took her out of her comfort zone, but she loved it.
Oh, I bet.
And she had so much fun. And she thought, and she made some great connections too, both professionally and just, you know, socially and personally. So that's what I like to do very often. Like, I love when I can, like, find this like amalgamation of all those worlds and mix them up because it's just so fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you've got this very extensive network and worlds as you just referred to.
Yeah.
How do you best nurture and stay in front of that community?
Well, again, the social media platforms are extremely helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, like I haven't played hockey for a couple of years because I tore up my knee and I don't know how we would have maybe stayed in touch without social media.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, we would have ran into each other at comedy sports.
Well, we would have eventually, but,
yes.
But you know, just with more regularity, uh-huh. it's just such an easy thing to do. However, again, it kind of depends what the end game is because I like to like close a deal or solidify a deal in person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am old school when it comes to some of those things. Like I am a firm believer in the handwritten thank you note.
Totally. 100%.
And I will go to my grave with that to the point where I give Miss Manners books as wedding presents. So you've all been warned. if you
great.
Want one, invite me to your wedding. No, but it's great because I think there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for manners and just kind of some old school style and skills.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell like kind of younger professionals that I work with, that goes a long way.
Absolutely.
It goes a really long way because it makes people realize that you actually sat down and really thought about what you're going to write. It's so personal. And they know if you have good or bad handwriting, yeah. Which says a lot too.
So you're kind of jumping ahead on my questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. it's a good lead-in, right?
Oh, great.
What advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
You know what? I would say, I would say be bold and get out of your comfort zone. And I'm sure you've had other guests that have said that. But here's the thing. Like, I moved to Wisconsin 20 years ago. I knew no one in Wisconsin. My husband and I moved here. He got a job at a law firm here in town. I knew nothing about the legal industry. I knew nothing about Milwaukee. We knew two people. And I had just been married. So I had a new last name. I moved to a new town. And I was given the opportunity to reinvent myself, which was such a cool opportunity. Because mm-hmm. I was like, nobody knows me.
Yep.
I can do anything I want. It was like witness protection almost because I had a new last name. But it was really great. And it gave me like kind of a shot in the arm like, well, what's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
All they can say is no. My first job was selling advertising for a legal publication. I had never sold advertising in my life. And I went in and I said, look, I've never sold advertising. I know nothing about the legal industry, but I just got married to an attorney. I want to learn more about it. And I've purchased advertising and I know how I like to be sold to. So just give me a chance. And I figured all they could say is, well, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. So, like, be bold and ask. If you know, opportunity comes from asking. And the worst that can happen is they say no. And the best thing is they go, huh, yeah, why not give it a whirl?
Yeah.
And so I would just say be bold. And in this day and age, there's so many ways to do that.
Totally.
Be creative and just don't, like, just be your authentic self. I mean, I think that's what came out of... you know, like jumping in and doing improv and just saying, you know what, that required me to realize it's like, oh, it's not about me being funny. It's about helping other people, supporting each other and being on a team, which of course we love because we grew up as athletes, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Like I'm naturally a team player. I have eight brothers and sisters. Like I've always been on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to make yourself stand out as an individual, but you have to. And you have to bring your unique self to a situation. But in order to do that, you have to believe in it. And you have to just be bold and be like, I got this.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I will say, you have to be the first person to say and admit when you don't have it.
I agree with that 100%.
Because that, I have found, you reap the most reward when you can contact somebody. Like, I would call you and be like, hey, Lori, you know what? I've been out of the digital game for a while. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? And you'd probably be like, well, yeah, I can for this price point. I'd go, well, I only have $7. And you go, fine. Well, you know what? Then I'm not for you. But I know somebody that's just starting out. And I say that jokingly, except that, like, just being honest about the situation.
Totally.
And saying, look, I need to do this. Like, this is my budget. I know you're an expert in this field. Is there – what avenue should I take?
Yep.
Because people are afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to.
Yeah.
You just absolutely have to.
Well, that goes back to being authentic.
Yeah.
Just, I'm not able to do this. So
yeah.
Here's another option, which is then the networking game.
I think 98% of my conversations during work are, now I'm not an attorney. Please note, I am not an attorney. And, you know, I can connect you with one.
I feel I've said that a number of times, yes, too. Yeah. I'm not a legal professional.
I don't tell my kids that. I'm like, no, I'm an attorney. You have to do what I say. You know what? I just think, again, going back to, like, the principles, like, you know, be bold. Get out of your comfort zone. But just listen. Listen, listen, listen.
Totally.
And connect.
So you've spoken a lot in a positive light about digital networking. And you did. Mm-hmm. You did cover the traditional with regards to having that, like, in person to kind of close the deal type of scenario. Which one do you find more value in, digital or traditional networking?
Kind of depends what that end game is. If I'm trying to, like, you know, get butts in seats for like a legal conference or something, digital is the way to go for me. Or, you know, promoting an event. But, you know, I have to bring in sponsors for my association. I have to get in front of people and I have to make sure that the sponsors for our group are getting a good return on their investment. And so much of that comes from understanding their business. I primarily deal with law firms. They sponsor my association, and understanding what their practices are, who makes up their firm, that is so important. And I find that I can do that if I meet with them personally and really get to know them, you know, and go to their office and check out their digs. Because like if we're doing an event and I know that you have a new beautiful office down in the Third Ward, I will be bold enough to call up and be like, hey, do you want to have a cocktail party at your new office?
Yeah, sure.
And they're like, oh, no. And we're like, all right. Yeah. On to the next person. But it's like we have this beautiful space. Like everybody wants a return on their investment. And so acknowledging that people have invested time, money, love, and sweat equity in where they work and what they do for a living, like if you can help them get a return on that,
mm-hmm.
that is awesome. Yep. And I love watching that happen. Very often the connections I make, I just make the connection and like sit back and watch. I love it. I absolutely enjoy watching people have success that, you know, through a connection that I've made. Sometimes they're really bizarre connections.
But you knew there's going to be some spark there, right? And that's
yeah.
what made it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I have the best, this is going to be weird. You can edit it out. I'm not kidding. I had a plumbing situation in my house where my shower was pouring into my kitchen, rendering us with a house with three showers at that point. And I got all these quotes from these plumbers and they were a gazillion dollars.
Sure.
Like,
because you had a very immediate pain associated with it.
Right, exactly. Obviously. So I was like, oh my gosh. So we stopped using the shower. So the gentleman that I buy like t-shirts, promotional items from, and who prints my annual hockey uniforms for an event I put on. Mm-hmm. We do the Brophy Christmas Classic, and he prints the hockey sweaters for me every year.
Yeah.
The greatest guy, his name's Lee Navala. He's with All Star Printers on the south side. He's great. He delivers everything to my house. So over the course of the year, the last, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we have this great relationship. He showed up at Christmas to deliver my hockey jerseys. And I said, well, come in, you know, for a cup of coffee, happy holidays. And he's like, what's with the hole in your ceiling? I said, oh, it's been there for months. And he's like, you need to call my friend. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I've got quotes. And he's like, no, you need to call my friend. Amy, you need to call my friend. He's a master plumber. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll call him. I didn't call him because it was Christmas and I was busy. 2 days later, a master plumber showed up on my doorstep and said, hey, I'm a good friend of Lee's. He told me to just stop by because you weren't going to call me because you're too busy, but I need to fix your shower and your tub and your entire bathroom. And I am not kidding you. That gentleman has redone half of my house.
Oh, for sure.
Every quote I got for just the shower alone was like $20,000. They redid my entire bathroom for a fraction of that. And it is the best work. Anyway, so that guy, just from like, I have this great relationship.
I love that
with him.
Story.
Right. So then he then sends me another guy. He called him. I was like, well, do you know anyone that does retaining walls? Well, yeah. So this guy, and these are all people that are just trying to build their business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they do great work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, if you guys want to use my house as a testing ground for anything, that's fine. So I just connect them all. Anyway, we've had this beautiful relationship with all these people now that I would have never met. And it was just like him asking me like, Amy, you got to get this fixed. I'm like, well, I can't, you know, I don't have the time or the resources
yeah.
to do it, and just making it happen. And it's because I have a good relationship with him, you know, and I've sent him so many clients just over the years, and little things,
yep.
sometimes big things, but like he knows that.
Yeah.
It's like having his back, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
There have been times where people have called me like, hey, I need clients. I'm looking for work. I'm like, okay, how can I help you?
Yeah.
It might not be huge, but that goes a really long way. And you don't get that by sending an email.
Correct.
And you don't get that on making a LinkedIn post. Now, you might make the initial connection or the follow-up stuff, and there's a great time and place for all of
sure.
that. But I think you just have to have that balance.
Yeah. But that relationship was built because he was bringing – products to your house, delivering.
Sure, the
person,
fact that he
you invite him in and he sees holes in your ceiling.
Yeah. Which, you know, I thought it looked lovely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I, again, another long-winded answer, but it really, it's just really connecting. It's like doing a scene too, like knowing when not to talk and knowing when you're just there to set the imaginary table and let two other people have
tea. I know
tea.
Why you do long form now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fun question. If you sure. could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, when I was 20, I was still in college.
Okay.
So I'd probably say sleep less, study more.
Yeah.
No, actually, when I, you know, I think if I could go back, this is going to sound weird, but I always had a desire to work in medicine.
Hmm.
And I, in fact, I was an anesthesia technician when I was in college because, you know, as a communications major, you would naturally work in an operating room and start IVs and run blood tests.
Wow. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Okay.
Well, you know, our neighbor was the head of anesthesiology at the hospital and he's like, hey, you want a summer job? I'm like, sure. He's like, it's mopping up blood in an OR. I'm like, sounds great. Well, no, it sounded fascinating.
It's not for me,
and
but
so like, I, well, no, it's not for
sure.
everybody. But I was, you know, wanted to do PR. I wanted to do PR for a hospital, but really like a long time ago, I wanted to be in medicine. And I had, this is going to sound terrible. I have the utmost respect for teachers, but I had a couple bad teachers that said, well, you couldn't do that.
Sure.
Because like, you're not good enough at math or yeah, no, I don't know. I just can't see it. And I let that get into my head. And I let somebody who probably didn't really give two shakes about me, because there were like 80 kids in the class
sure.
at the time, just send me on a different path. Because like when I worked in the hospital, I loved it. And I loved everything about it. I loved working in the OR. I loved working with the doctors. But they're, everybody always said like, oh, no, you have to be you know, high science major and all this stuff. Well, I got there and like two of the doctors I worked with, they're like, oh, I was English lit major. And I'm like, what? So what? Everyone told me the wrong stuff. I guess, it, again, just to like go with my gut.
Yeah.
And not, you don't have to follow the traditional routes. You know, you don't have to follow what's in the student handbook or class guide. Although, you know, financially, it's helpful if you do so that you, so you can graduate on time.
This is true.
You know, I come from, I have eight brothers and sisters. My dad's a professor. My mom was a professional as well. And I had great role models, great brothers and sisters that all are very successful in what they do. And I just think, if all of them were in this room, all my brothers and sisters, they'd probably give you that same advice. Just like, go with your gut. Because I think we all, it's very easy to get pigeonholed and be like, well, I'm a communications major. Like, I have to take these classes. And I, nope, you can't venture out of your box.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've just discovered that I have to force myself out of that. And when I did, I found great success. Whether it's being an anesthesia tech and while working, like I did a PR internship in the day, during the day. And then I would go work the night shift at a hospital.
Wow.
Like setting up operating rooms
yeah.
and like mopping up blood. Yeah, it was terrifying sometimes. But it was so cool because I still am connected with some of the doctors and nurses that I worked in. And those were some of the best years of my life. And it was completely off the path you would take to
sure.
go become a PR professional. But man, I mean, I know enough about medicine to be dangerous or to hold on a conversation or, you know, and
yeah.
so it's just exposure to a lot of different areas and just try to be a renaissance person, I guess.
And I think that's important too, is expanding, getting outside of your comfort zone, which kind of you spoke
yeah.
to a little bit earlier.
Yeah. I mean, like Thursday morning, I'm starting tap dancing lessons. You know why? Because it's been on my list of things I've always wanted to do. And I'm doing it with three women I hardly know because they are moms that whose kids are in a theater program that my daughter's in. I don't know them very well. We've just kind of become
sure.
friends. And I'm like, hey, let's your kids know how to tap dance. Do you want to tap dance? And so we're starting at a friend of mine just opened a new dance studio and he's looking to get it off the ground. I'm like, you want four old ladies, come take some tap lessons. We'll do it. He's like, oh my gosh, that'll be great. So again, I'm going to learn how to tap dance. I'm going to make three new friends. I'm going to help my buddy who just opened a dance studio.
Yeah, awesome.
So everyone's winning. I will say one other thing regarding like neat or unique ways to build your network. A lot of people volunteer or like donate to charities or sit on boards and stuff like that. And that is wonderful. I would suggest to do that, but find like charities or a group that really needs your help. Like it's great to be like, oh yes, I sat on the board of the, I don't know, Peanut Butter and Jelly Festival and there are 50 other people on that board. Find something that your involvement is really going to make an impact. And even, I would even say, like, if you make donations the same way, because like there are some like small, and again, this goes back to comedy, but like some smaller comedy troupes here in town or festivals. And it's like, you know what, if I give them $100, that's going to have such a bigger impact than if I give it to, you know, I mean, there are tons of great charities I donate to, but my point being, it's like, okay, well, if I throw in my sweat equity into this group or even $100 or $50, that's really money well spent. Because like if they didn't get that $100, they can't rent the theater space. It's only $100, which doesn't seem like, it might not seem like a lot of money to you or a lot of money to me, but it is.
Yeah.
And that's a make or break sum.
Yeah.
So if that's something you can do, that impact is really, really great.
I like that a lot. It's different.
Yeah, it's different. And I've just found that recently because I was never in the theater community. I have no background in it at all. And so by being in this very unique environment, I've just met so many people. I mean, some of the most brilliant people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And just have a lot of different creative opportunities have come up that you still can use your professional wherewithal to help. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. That's just kind of recently I've discovered that it's like, oh wait.
Yeah. No, that's really
going to have a bigger impact if I
profound
really focus
advice,
it.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one time I had profound advice is someone was recording.
It is.
Oh, my word.
It is really important, and you should be doing things that have meaning to you, but more like a domino butterfly effect in a positive way, right? That you're having a greater impact on others because of the smaller action that you took, as opposed to trying to be part of something really big to, you know, be big to something big. Why don't you be big to something small and help them to get to that big
level? Yeah, and you don't need to shout it from the rooftops or anything like that either. Just be, I think that's the other thing too. Be humble and like subtle in your actions. I think that goes very, very far.
I feel like you keep getting ahead of all my questions.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Just because we're like mine.
So I'm going to go right to any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network. And I feel like you laid out a lot of that already. But
you
let's
don't
just
want to know about what book I'm reading right now? Do you have any idea? I was so excited that you asked me because I actually like am reading
a book. I'm just trying to be
totally
conscious of time here.
I know.
Let's answer. What book are you reading right now?
I'm reading the weirdest book. It's called The Feather Thief.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that.
Nobody has.
Okay.
It's about the biggest heist of the British Natural History Museum. It is the weirdest, coolest book.
I like those kind of
these
movies.
People that are obsessed with Victorian fly tying. And they go in and this guy gets obsessed with them and he steals all of these rare bird skins and feathers. This is a true story. And then sells them on the fly tying black market, gets busted. It is the weirdest, coolest book. It starts like the deep archipelagos where they're looking for rare birds back in like the day of, oh gosh, you know, like the early explorers. And they're all categorized stuff. He steals them and then sells them. And the whole time I'm reading it, like, people are going to know if your flies have extinct bird feathers. Like, how is this happening?
It's so random.
It's totally random, totally bizarre. But oh my gosh, great conversation for over cocktails.
Oh, I believe that.
To people you don't know, like, hey, ever thought about where feathers come from for tie flying? No. Okay. Well, let me tell you a couple things. So again, expand the horizons. There you go.
That is a good expansion of horizons. All right, circling back to this question here. Any final word or advice off our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, since you're listeners, you should focus on listening. How's that? No, honestly, you have to listen. Through listening comes opportunity.
Yep.
And actively listen. This is a really weird thing, but I learned it through improv, and we teach it in applied improv, is where repeating what somebody has said back to you, you don't have to do it out loud, although there is an exercise where you do that, and focusing on what the person is saying, because everybody is so focused on how they're going to get their idea out and how they are going to advance the situation or throw their two cents in, that they're not listening to what the other person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of different exercises you can do to help, you know, formulate this, just ingrain this into your brain. I can't tell you how much success I've had since I have applied these rules.
So applied improv.
Yeah,
class.
Applied improv. So if anyone out there wants to learn about this, please just reach out to Comedy Sports, csemke.com is the website, and Alex will answer the phone when you call, or Amanda or Mary, and just say, hey, I heard this amazing interview with Amy Westrom. She's extraordinary, but she talked about applied improv, and I would like to participate in a workshop, or I would like you to come to my office and teach it. I think I'm doing one next week for like the Junior League of Milwaukee.
Cool.
We have people that come down to Comedy Sports and take them. We will go to your office and teach them. It's a really, really wonderful program. In fact, I think we're doing a series of workshops in Ohio.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we'll travel. We'll go. Like, if anyone wants me to come to, Singapore and teach it, happy to fly. I could bring my good friend Lori. It would be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We could teach it to hockey teams.
Yes.
Right? So, I don't know. It's great. At the end of the day, listen, make eye contact with people. I mean, nobody looks at each other anymore. Everyone's looking down at their phones.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your phones off, listen to each other, look at each other, and then yes and everything. You'll have great success.
Yes. Yay. And answer this last question.
Okay.
If anyone's interested in getting in contact with you, Amy, what is the best way they can reach you?
Handwritten note. No, I'm just kidding. Per Miss Manners, you can write me a letter. No. Just email. I'm sure you have my email information, awestrup@mac.com. If you want to learn more about the Association of Corporate Counsel, if any of you are in-house attorneys that are listening, you can hop on our website. And then obviously, Comedy Sports, come on down, call, take a workshop. Have us come out and do a workshop, applied improv, or even a show. It's really, really fun. And you know, there's nothing better than laughter, both in and out of the workplace.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, everyone just needs to chill out and have some fun, right?
Thank you. I will include all of those links in the show notes, and hopefully someone from Singapore will reach out and request a show.
Sure.
Or class or workshop, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Amy.
Thanks. This was so fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was so great to see you.
You as well.
Yeah.
In person.
I know. It's been a while. So thank you for having me.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Amy Westrup for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.